Stand with me all over this house as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord today. I feel compelled to preach on this subject today. This is I preached this subject when this church first opened because I wanted it to be one of the foundational topics of the body of Christ. Churches have strayed from this message, from this topic. They have gone astray. But I believe today that we need to know the plan of salvation. I believe today that we need to know how we need to approach God. Amen. And for that reason, I want to talk to you a little bit today about the tabernacle plan. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and churches don't talk about this much anymore, but they should. The Lord is coming soon. Can you say amen? The Lord is coming soon, and it's important today for us to understand the plan of salvation. The tabernacle plan of the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the church of the New Testament. Amen. And these young people are passing out some papers here, so if you can't, we're going to have that up on the screen here in just a few moments. But I want you to take this piece of paper and I want you to store it in your Bible. May you forever remember this sermon that was preached to you on this day. The tabernacle plan of God. The tabernacle of the Old Testament is symbolic of the church of the New Testament. Church, the signs of the times are all around us. Come on, they're all around us today. Earthquakes in diverse places. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Come on, somebody. We're seeing all of these things come to pass. We're seeing families turn against each other. Mothers against daughters and fathers against sons. And all of these things that the Bible tells us would happen in the last days. We are living in those days. We are living in those days today. And there are some foundational things that need to be established in us. This church has quadrupled in the last 3 years, so there are many people in this church that were not here 3 years ago to hear this sermon. And I made a commitment that I would preach this about every 3 years in this church so the people would be reminded of their approach to God. Amen. There are some foundational things, church, that needs to be established in us. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had a certain approach to the Lord in the tabernacle, and it still speaks to us today. It still speaks to us today. The Word of God is filled with symbolism and typology. And all of these things that show us, that speak to us and reveal things to us. Amen. And these Old Testament Jews worshiped God in symbolism and in typology. They knew that everything that God told them to do had a purpose. Oh, that we could live that way today. If we could just realize, Lord, I don't know why you're telling me to do this, but I know everything you tell me to do has a purpose. Praise the Lord. These Old Testament Jews, they worshiped the Lord in symbolism and in typology. They had a certain approach to God in the tabernacle plan, and it's just as important today to us that we have the right approach to God. We need the right approach to God. How many want to have the right approach to God today? How many want to know that when you come to Him, you're going to reach Him? When you come to Him, He's going to show up. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to arrive at a place where God's glory is falling. I want to arrive at a place where the power of God is falling down upon us today. Amen. We're going to start off today. Thank you for standing by looking at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse. The words are provided for you upon the screen behind me. When you get there, shout out amen. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, the word of the Lord says, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these things happened unto them, those in the days of old, for an example to us, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. I want to preach to you today on this topic, the tabernacle plan. Let's all pray today. Lord, bless your word today. Lord, bless your people today. Lord, bless these hungry hearts today. Let us grow deeper in you. Let us grow deeper in our understanding of you. Let us have the right approach to you. Let us see, Lord, the symbolism. Let us see what your word has to say to us as we stand before you with hearts wide open, Lord, and minds ready to receive your word. I'm asking you for a special anointing in this place, a special revelation that only you can give, the mighty God in Christ. Only you can give it. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you today. Bless your word today as it falls upon these people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Let all the believers say amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord as we're seated in our seats today. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Are you excited to be in the church? Triumphant. Amen. Triumphant. We are a triumphant people today. Amen. We are a triumphant people today. Amen. As we just read in this passage of Scripture, all of the things of the Old Testament were physical examples of the spiritual truths that would come in the New Testament. And all of these things, there's a reason why over 2,000 years have gone by and we're still talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a reason why all these years have gone by and we are still talking about Daniel in the lion's den. Because these things happened to them so they could be an example to us. All right? The Old Testament is physical examples of the spiritual truths that would come in the New Testament. Now, up on the screen behind me and in your laps, which will be in your Bibles, is a picture of the tabernacle plan. This is the, I dug through a bunch of them on the internet to try to find the best one that I could. This was the best one that I could think of to show you today. It is a picture of the tabernacle plan upon the screen today. How many know we serve a very specific God? Amen. We serve a very specific God. Amen. When we read in the text, we see that the Lord told Noah exactly how to build the ark. He told him how long to make it. He told him how wide to make it. He told him how tall to make it. He told him how many of each animal to take inside. He told him how it was to operate. He told him to pitch it within and pitch it without. We serve a very specific God. Amen. He knows exactly what he wants. He knows exactly what his desires is. We serve a very specific God. Now listen, what you cannot see in this picture is that the tabernacle was placed in the very center of all 12 of the tribes of the children of Israel. And that is not shown in this picture, but that is the way that the Bible teaches us it happened. So every time that this tabernacle, this mobile tabernacle, it was basically the mobile church, the mobile tabernacle, every time that it would move, when they would stop, the tabernacle would be placed dead in the center of all of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, symbolizing to us that the Lord must absolutely be the center of our life. Praise God. Come on, somebody, listen. He will not be the end. Come on, he will not be the last priority on your list. Come on, he wants to be the center of your life. We serve a jealous God today. Amen. And he said, my glory I will not give to another. Amen. We serve a very specific, a very jealous God today. And something that is interesting to know, and you probably can see it a little bit, up in the far upper corner, you can see that there is a pillar of smoke. And it's interesting to note that the tabernacle was covered by a cloud by day. Amen. And at night, that cloud would become a pillar of fire so they could still see it above the tabernacle. Amen. Now listen, if the cloud were to stay stationary, they would stay there right where it was at. But if the cloud began to move, it was time to get the tabernacle packed up and get that thing on the highway and start following wherever the cloud went. If it was the middle of the night and the fire, the cloud that had transformed into the fire, if that fire began to move, it was like, hey, wake up, we got to get on the highway. We got to follow the Lord, symbolizing to us when God moves, we got to follow him. When God moves, we got to follow him. You got to move. We used to sing that old song, says, I got to move, I got to move. When the Lord gets ready, I got to move. Amen. Symbolizing to us that we are to follow and we must be led by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is moving, we got to move with it, church. We cannot take for granted the Spirit of the Lord. How many remember the pool of Bethesda? Amen. How that when the water was troubled, the first one in the pool was the one that got the blessing. Let me tell you something. The worst habit you could ever establish in your life is for you to be the last one standing up and clapping your hands unto the Lord. The worst habit you could ever establish in your life is for you to be the last one that comes up here to the altar and stretches your hands toward heaven and lifts your voice unto the Lord and say, Lord, I love you and I need you. You want to be the first one praising him. You want to be the first one to the altar seeking him. Amen. Listen, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, we got to move with it. Amen. I've seen people sit in services and they would hold on to their chair so tightly. And I watch them as they sit there and they shake and they tremble and they cry, but they got a good hold on the seat. And they refuse to submit or to give in to the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of conviction that is resting upon them. And then you see that maybe they never had another opportunity for that to ever happen again. When the Spirit of the Lord moves, we got to move with it, church. And the worst habit you could ever develop in your life is to be the last one to get your praise on. You need to be the first one to get your praise on today. Listen, in these principles, there are things that we need to get a hold of today. The Lord needs to be the center of our life. The Lord needs to be the center of the life. And when the Spirit of the Lord moves, we got to move with it. We got to go with what God wants. Amen. Now, as you can see on your paper today, the entrance to the tabernacle always faced the east. All right, it always faced the east toward the rising of the sun, symbolizing to us that no matter what we go through, no matter how dark the night gets, we got a promise the Lord is always going to rise new in our life every single day. Amen. They faced this tabernacle toward the east so they could see the rising of the sun every single day. Amen. The Lord is faithful. Can you say amen? The Lord is faithful today. The tabernacle was 150 feet long. It was 75 feet wide. And as you can see up in this drawing, there was a fence all the way around the yard of the tabernacle. Now, the fence was made of white linen. And there was a reason for this. The reason was, and when you walk up to the white linen fence, it would make you aware of any soil that was on your garment. How many have ever wore something and it looks clean? It looks nice, but when you get it home in a different light, or when you get it close to something that is clean, you're like, whoa, Lord, have mercy. I was wearing that? Is anybody? I'm the only one. This is what the fence was all about. White linen. As you walked up to where the presence of the Lord was abiding, it would expose anything dirty about you. Praise God. Amen. This fence that was around the outer courtyard of the tabernacle was 7 feet tall, just a little bit taller. Now, just a little bit taller than the average man. I am 6'2" tall. But even on my tippy toes, man, that hurts my calf muscles. Even on my tippy toes, I still can't see over 7 feet, right? So the design of the fence was that you would come up just short trying to sneak a peek. How many know you? God didn't design his glory and his presence so we could sneak a peek. Come on, somebody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what this is telling us. You ain't going to sneak a peek at his glory. You're either in or you're out. You need the presence of the Lord in your life today. Hallelujah. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are short that we can't obtain this thing on our own today. We can't obtain this thing on our own today. It was just taller than the average man. And the people who wanted to sneak a peek fell just short of being able to see what was going on inside. Let me tell you something today, church. In our flesh, we will always come up short. Without the Spirit of God leading us, we will always come up short. Amen. We will always come up short. So the Bible instructs us to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You cannot sneak a peek at God. You cannot get just a little glimpse of God. Amen. It's all or none today. You got to go through the door of the sheepfold. Praise God. So the tabernacle was designed that you couldn't sneak a peek over the edge of the fence. You got to go around and go in the door. Praise the Lord. You got to go around and you got to go in the door. Amen. You got to go through the door of the sheepfold. Now, there was only one gate coming into the yard of the tabernacle. As you can see there at the bottom of the screen, there was only one gate coming into the yard of the tabernacle. One way in and one way out. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And any man that climbeth up any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. You had to come through the gate to stand in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it's the same way for us today. You still got to come through the gate. The gate coming in, the courtyard was 30 feet wide at the entrance, the main entrance to the tabernacle courtyard. But going into the tabernacle itself, it was only 15 feet wide. There was a straightening. There was a narrowing. Come on, straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. There was a straightening. There was a narrowing as you come into the yard of the tabernacle. Before you could come into the presence of the Lord, there was a narrowing or a straightening. Praise the Lord. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Amen. As you see up on the screen, there were four posts that held up this 30-foot gate, representing the four gospels. Amen, that held up Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four gospels tell of the life of Jesus Christ. They tell of the death of Jesus Christ, and they tell of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These Old Testament Jews worshiped the Lord in symbolism and in typology. They taught their children daily to worship the Lord, to make sacrifices unto the Lord. They recited things every day in their home. Things like, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now, as you come through the gate of the courtyard of the tabernacle, the first thing you would see there in the courtyard at the bottom, as you can see on the paper that you have there, is the brazen altar. The brazen altar, okay? The brazen altar is where the animal was sacrificed. Now, the brazen altar is a type and shadow of repentance. It's where the struggle took place. It's where the animal was killed. Think about that for a second. It's where our flesh is surrendered unto the Lord. The brazen altar was where the struggle was at today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's where repentance was. It all begins at the brazen altar. The first animal that was ever sacrificed at this brazen altar, a fire fell down from heaven, and from that point on, every time this mobile tabernacle was moved, the children of Israel would have to be very careful as they gathered up those ashes and they kept them in a bundle. They would have to blow on them and keep them from going out, because when they stopped at the next place, it had to be the very same fire that was burning in the last place that they stopped. Let there forever be a fire burning in the house of the Lord. Praise God. It's our job to make sure the fire don't go out. The Lord sent the fire down, but it's your job to make sure the fire don't go out. You're going to make sure the fire don't go out by faithful church attendance, by worshiping the Lord when you have an opportunity to do so. It's our job to make sure the fire does not go out. Amen. And the second piece, as you left the brazen altar, was the brazen laver. I'm going to try to move through these quickly. This laver was not just brazen brass. It was mirrored brass. So when they put the water in it for the washing, it was almost like a mirror. And you could see yourself in it. All right? Now listen, as you progress through the tabernacle plan, the materials that they made the furnishings with became more valuable. And that's important. Okay, that's important. As you progress through the tabernacle plan, the materials became more valuable. And the women of the children of Israel surrendered their mirrors and their looking glasses to be used to make this laver. Symbolizing to us, listen, you know what they did? They surrendered their vanity for the house of God. They gave up their looking glasses. They gave up their mirrors. They surrendered their vanity to the house of God. Amen. All that is in this life, church, is vanity. All of it's vanity. You can't take it with you today. This laver was so highly polished that when the priest would walk up, he could see any spots on his garment. Aaron was called by God to be the first high priest, and God instructed Moses to wash Aaron from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Amen. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. How many remember when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet, Peter looks at him and he says, not just my feet only, Lord, but wash my hands and my head also. Praise God, symbolizing to us that we need to be buried with him in baptism. That's why we teach to be buried. That's why we teach full submersion in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what this brazen laver was all about. The priest was to wash from head to toe. Amen. From head to toe. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when you get inside the tabernacle, from these two pieces, you move to inside the tabernacle. And when you first walked up to the tabernacle, you would see this big rectangular box, all right? This big rectangular box, and it was covered with four overlays. And you can see on the, it's probably hard to see up on the screen, but in your lap, you can see there were four colors that covered the tabernacle, okay? The outermost covering of the tabernacle was made of a badger skin. I preached a sermon one time on this called Love Wrapped in Badger Skin. All right? And the outermost covering on the tabernacle was badger skin. Badger skin is unattractive. okay? It's unattractive. Badger skin, listen, nobody says, oh, look at that beautiful badger. Now, if you've ever said that, Lord help you. But that's usually not something somebody says, right? Because badger skin is not attractive. It's, oh, look at that beautiful horse, or look at that billy goat, or look at people like these emus over here. But the outermost covering of the tabernacle was badger skin. It was unattractive. But let me tell you something about badger skin. It was rough. It was tough. It was virtually indestructible. It was something that could withstand the storms that would come. Oh, my God, somebody help me preach for a moment here. Badger skin, it might not have been the best looking thing, but it was the most effective thing. It was the roughest and the toughest, and nothing was going to tear it up. It was protective, and it symbolizes to us, once again, repentance. Listen, saying you're sorry, acknowledging your wrongs, acknowledging the mistakes that you have made in your life is not the most attractive part of salvation. Nobody wants to say, yeah, I used to do this and I used to do that. People's going to look at you different, right? It's not the most attractive thing about salvation. Amen. But badger skin was the outermost covering, and it was the least valuable. Now, that's very important that you get a hold of that. Now, you realize today you are the tabernacle of God. The Old Testament tabernacle is symbolic of the New Testament church. And I just showed you that the outermost covering of the tabernacle was the least expensive. The least expensive, the least beautiful, but it was the toughest. It could withstand anything. All right, the outermost covering was made of badger skin, and it was the least valuable. The second covering was a little more expensive. It was ram skin. And it wasn't just any old ram skin. It was ram skin that had been dyed red. You can see the red in the picture there. It was ram skin dyed red, symbolizing to us that the blood is applied through baptism in Jesus' name. Praise God. It takes the blood today to complete the salvation, the plan of salvation. Amen. It was dyed red, symbolizing the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives through water baptism in his name. And then the third covering got a little bit more expensive, was goat's hair. Goat's hair in those days was luxurious. It was soft. It was tender. Amen. And it represented the comforting presence of the Lord. Amen. It was precious. It was expensive. It was luxurious. And then the fourth covering was embroidered linen, decorated linen, sewn. Time was spent on it. Amen. It was the one that the most time was spent on. It was the one that got the most attention. Even though the outside needed some time, the most amount of time was spent on the inside of the tabernacle. My God, I'm speaking to somebody today. We concentrate on the outside and do whatever we want on the inside. But the original design was the least valuable was on the outside, and the most time was spent on the inside. Praise God. Amen. You are the tabernacle of God today. Amen. Listen, the fourth covering was made of embroidered linen. It was the one that the most time was spent on. Listen, it represented the beauty of holiness. And listen, this is why Peter taught against outward adornments. This is why Peter taught against decorating the flesh. He said, let it be about the inward adornments of the heart. How many know? Let me tell you something. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, he's not going to look at what you had on the outside. He's going to be concerned about how beautiful you were on the inside. I propose to you today, if you're spending more time looking good on the outside than you are on the inside, you're going against the tabernacle of God today. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's about the inward adornment of a meek and a quiet spirit. Amen. That's what Peter taught. So now we have repentance. We have baptism. We have coming into the beautiful presence of the Lord and receiving the Holy Ghost with an initial sign of speaking in an unknown tongue. Listen to me today, but the continuing evidence of the Holy Ghost is the fruits of the Spirit. I've lived long enough, I've seen people speak in tongues and live like the devil. I've lived long enough, I've seen alcoholics quote to me the Word of God. I've lived long enough, I've seen people be every Sunday church attendees and have their hands in everything that God is not pleased in. I come to tell you today, you need an initial sign that the Lord has moved into this house, and then you need the continuing fruits of the Spirit. If you want to know you're right with God, look at love and patience, temperance, meekness. All of these things, against such there is no law. If you want to gauge yourself whether you're right with God, look at the fruits of the Spirit. My mother has these wrote in her kitchen so that every day she can look and see, are these things in my life? Praise God. If you want to know whether you're right with God or not, let me tell you something. Even though I believe in an initial sign that is given, if you want to know if you're right with God, look for the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Look for the fruits of the Spirit in your life today. Amen. Because that is the continuing evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, as we move inside the tabernacle, we see that inside the tabernacle, the material with which the furnishings were made transitions from these outside things like animal skin and brass and all of these things, and they transition to more precious things like gold and silver. Amen. And we see that the tabernacle was made of finer materials. Okay, as we move inside the tabernacle, we transition from brass to gold. Now, the priest would come inside the tabernacle. He would light the candlestick first, and then he would eat the showbread second, and then he would go to the altar of incense, and he would offer an incense unto the Lord before he would go back behind the second veil and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down. All right, now listen. The first thing inside the tabernacle was the golden candlestick, which represents to us the light of God, the Spirit of God. His word is a lamp unto our feet. His word is a light unto our path, right? It's what shows us which direction we are to go. Amen. So we see that these are the things the priest would do when he first would come in. You had the golden candlestick, amen, the light of God. Now, there's something very significant that you can't really see in this picture, but the walls of the tabernacle, which held up this tent-type coverings, were made of shittim wood overlaid with gold, representing the humanity of God. The wood represented the humanity of God, and the gold represented the deity of God. He was both God and man. Praise the Lord. He was both God and man. Okay, and you don't see that in that picture, but if you read your Bible, you'll see that the walls were made of shittim wood and they were overlaid. The walls were covered in gold, golden walls. The ceiling was beautifully embroidered, a beautifully decorated ceiling. Amen. But the floor was dirt and sand, symbolizing to us that we are to live our life in Christ looking, amen, at the beauty of God. If you walk around living your life in Christ, constantly letting your head hang low, woe is me, what's wrong, this is bad, and that's bad, all you're going to see is dirt and sand. But if you'll lift your eyes unto the hills, whence cometh your help? Our help come from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Lift your eyes, behold the beauty of God. Look at the embroidered ceiling. Look at the gold walls. Look at all the beautiful things God has blessed us with. If you walk around with your head hung low all the time, all you're going to see is dirt. I remember reading one time in a book A man says, you know why cattle, when they're standing at a fence, are always looking over and the grass appears to be greener on the other side? If you were to take that fence down and let those cattle go over, once they got over there and they look straight down, they're going to see through right through the grass and they're going to see the dirt just like they did where they came from. The grass always looks greener on the other side. But when your head is hung low and you're always looking down, all you're going to see is dirt and sand. That's not how God intended on you living your life. He wants you to behold His beauty. Lift your eyes unto the hills. Look at the beauty of God. Look at the embroidered ceiling. Look at the golden walls that God has placed in our lives today. Amen. If we look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we see Him high and lifted up. Amen. Then we'll see the beauty and the privilege of the blessings of life lived in Christ. Old things are passed away, church. Behold, all things are made new. Come on, don't keep on looking back at the past. Don't keep on looking down at the dirt. Keep your eyes upon the Lord today because He has placed beautiful things in your life today. Get your mind off the dirt and get it on the beauty of God. It's a privilege to come into the presence of God today. It's a privilege to come into the presence of God today. So when we come into the tabernacle, immediately we see the golden candlestick on the left, and next on the right would be the table of showbread. Amen. And the fourth piece of furnishing was the table of showbread, and it was made of purest gold. And although it was made of purest gold, amen, listen, it was not ornate. It was not fancy. It was not decorated. It was not carved. It was a simple golden table. This is where the priest ate the showbread. This is where the priest ate the showbread. It was not decorated. It was not fancy. It was not intricate. It was not fanciful. Listen, because it represents to us the one who holds the bread. It represents the ministry of the church today. The one that holds the bread of God. It's not about you. It's about the bread today. Praise God. It's not about us being fancy. Look at me. It's about the bread of God today. Amen. It's about the bread of God today. Represents the ministry. Representing to us ministers, don't let this thing get to your head today. Come on. Don't let it get to your head today. It's not the table that matters. It's the bread that's important. The priest was required to eat this bread, and if he skipped over the bread and he went on to the next step, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he would die. Why? Because we serve a specific God who has a designed approach for His people to come to Him. There are many things that happen in this church, and maybe you don't understand why they happen, but I'm telling you today why they happen. Because we serve a specific God. Amen. And He has a certain approach plan for His people. We need to understand today, it matters how you come to God. How you serve God matters. You don't serve God half-heartedly. You don't serve God when you want to. You don't serve God when it's convenient for you. You serve God when things are good, and you serve God when things are bad. Come on, somebody, it matters how you come to God today. He wants a faithful people. He wants a devout people. He wants a people that's committed to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. If that priest skipped over that showbread, he would surely die in those Holy of Holies. And they'd be dragging him out by a rope that was tied to his feet. They had bells and pomegranates that was circled around the hem of the bottom of his garment. And when he would go back into the Holy of Holies, if they heard the bells stop ringing, they knew to start pulling. Because that king had done, or that priest had already skipped over one of the patterns on how he came to the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you something. This priest was required to eat the showbread. He couldn't skip any of the patterns, any of the furnishings. He had to hit them all. It tells us the importance of the pattern. You need to understand today how you come to God matters. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Come on, it's not a democracy, it's a kingdom. You don't come before a king the same way you come before a president. Let me tell you something, you go over into these dictators' worlds where there's a king. When you come to that king, first of all, you bring him something. Second of all, you put on your best. You don't come before that king slouchy. And listen, whatever your best is, bring it. This is about your first fruits today. You come before the king with your best. You bring your best to the king. You put on your best attire. You bring your best praise. You bring your first fruits. You bring an offering of praise. That's why we don't sit on our hands in the house of God. That's why our rear ends are not glued to our seat in the house of God. Because when we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's worthy of all of our praise today. He's worthy of all of our praise today. We're coming before the King of Glory. He gave us life. I'd say He deserves our best today. Once this priest would eat this bread, he'd step up. Right in front of the veil was the altar of incense, and it was also made of purest gold. This is where there was a very specific recipe. I told you a while ago we served a specific God. You can read it. We don't have time to go over it. There was a very specific concoction that they had to make up to put in this altar of incense. All right? Now listen, it was a very specific recipe which was burned unto the Lord. And you didn't just throw something together. You didn't just say, well, I got a little bit of hyssop here, and I got a little bit of this there, and I'll just throw these two together, whatever I got, and I'll just offer it to the Lord. No, that's not the way it worked. He gave a very specific recipe on what he wanted offered up unto him. Amen. It was a very specific mixture. And the altar of incense was where Zacharias was at when the angel of the Lord told him that the Lord was going to bless him with a child. What you offer unto the Lord matters. Hear me today. Hear me today, child of God. What you offer unto the Lord, it matters. He's not asking for your least. I've lived long enough. I've watched people. Let me tell you something. If you decide that you're going to give somebody who's in need of something, if you decide they need a coat because it's freezing outside, and you go to your closet and you get the worst coat you got, holes. I got a Carhartt jacket that I work around the house in. All wore out. It's got holes all in it. If I'm going to give somebody a coat, I'm not going to give them that old Carhartt. I'm going to go in that closet and I'm going to get out the best coat that I got and I'm going to give it to them. It matters what you give unto the Lord today. It matters what you give Him. Amen. Listen, now it said that when they would light this incense unto the Lord at the altar of incense, it was strong enough that all the way down into the town, the donkeys would begin to sneeze. They'd be up here in the tabernacle. I want you to look how far away they probably was from anything. But as they lit this incense unto the Lord, it was so strong that the donkeys down the road would begin to sneeze, symbolizing to us that our praise unto the Lord, what we offer unto the Lord, it needs to be a strong praise today. And it needs to be a strong worship today. It don't need to be something that's half-baked or half-made or half-put together. It needs to be strong. Amen. You realize what your praise can accomplish today? Your praise can get you through the worst things in life you've ever gone through. Amen. That's what this is about. Your praise, your worship needs to be strong and powerful and pleasing to the Lord. Then there was the veil. It was beautifully embroidered. a place where only the high priest could go behind. Only the high priest was allowed to go behind the veil. Normally, the high priest would wear a royal priestly robe which had been beautifully embroidered. It was heavy. I have a study that we teach our leadership and our ministry here about the garments of God's man. Amen. It was a beautifully decorated, heavy, luxurious robe that the priest, the high priest, would normally wear. And it was sewn around the bottom of the bottom hem of the garment, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. And it's believed that those pomegranates were drilled out and they were hollow. They were tied. Amen. And when people would be anointed with oil, that the oil would run down and it would fill in those pomegranates. And many people believe that when the woman with the issue of blood come up to Jesus that day, the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. She was touching the anointing of God. She was touching the anointing of God, the virtue of God. Praise the Lord. And around the bottom of the garments of the high priest was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. So everybody recognized the high priest because of his attire. But on this one special day a year, the Day of Atonement, he was instructed to wear a plain white robe. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us that the sacrifice of Abraham took away the sins of a man, right? We know that Abraham took Isaac up into the mount to sacrifice unto the Lord. And the sacrifice of Abraham would only take away the sin of one man. Then along comes Moses. See, there's a steady progression to the Word of God. There's a steady progression to your life in God. And listen, Abraham would sacrifice to the Lord. It would take away the sins of one man. Then along come Moses and Aaron, and they would make a sacrifice, and it would take away the sins of an entire nation. And then along comes Jesus Christ, and when he shed his precious blood, it didn't take away the sin of a man. It didn't take away the sin of a nation. It took away the sins of the entire world. Hallelujah. Because there's a progression to the Word of God. There's a progression to your life in Christ. And how you come to God matters. How you come to God matters. You need to give it your best today. On the Day of Atonement, this priest would come in and he would offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And listen, he would take two goats, and he would take the first goat, he would go outside the outermost gate, and he would go out into the woods, and he would lead that goat as far away from the tabernacle as he could possibly get. So far that that goat could not remember its way back to the camp. This is where we get the term scapegoat. It was called a scapegoat. This priest would take this goat and he would lead it out as far as away as he could that it could not find its way back to the camp. Amen. It was called a scapegoat. Listen, then he would take the other goat and he would offer it at the brazen altar. And then he would take the blood of that goat and he would sprinkle it on every single piece of furnishing in the tabernacle plan. He would begin out here at the outermost part and he would sprinkle it upon the brazen altar. Then he would go to the brazen laver and he would sprinkle it. Then he would go inside the tabernacle and he'd sprinkle the candlesticks. Then he'd sprinkle the table of the showbread. Then he'd sprinkle the altar of incense. And then he would go behind the second veil and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, which was sitting upon the Ark of the Covenant. Praise God. Stay with me for just a few moments. I'm about to come to a close. He would sprinkle this blood upon the mercy seat. Now the Ark of the Covenant, listen, on the top of it was called the mercy seat. Now, remember earlier we talked about the Shekinah glory of God, the wrath of God. The Shekinah means wrath. So listen to me. What we get is not what we deserve. You don't want what you deserve. You don't want the wrath of God. Behind the Holy of Holies, where The mercy seat was sitting on the Ark of the Covenant. When the high priest would, when he would sprinkle that blood upon that mercy seat, the wrath of God would come down. It would hit that blood on that mercy seat, and it would instantaneously be turned into mercy. That's why they called it the mercy seat. Let me tell you something. You don't want what you deserve. We don't deserve his mercy and his grace. We don't deserve the blessings that he gives us. But we serve a gracious God today. We serve a gracious God today that has mercy. And because of that mercy, see, he takes his wrath, he transforms it into mercy. The wrath of God was instantaneously changed to mercy at the mercy seat. My God, I feel something brewing. Come on, I feel something boiling. It's coming. It's coming. I feel it. It's coming today. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Listen, when Jesus stood before Pilate, listen, Pilate told him, he said, "Don't you understand? I got the power to take your life." Jesus boldly looked back at him as he stood there as a lamb led to his shearers, as he stood there as a lamb led to the slaughter. He said, "You don't have the power to take my life except I give it to you." He chose to shed his blood. They didn't take it from him. They didn't take it from him. He chose to shed his blood for you and for me today. Praise the Lord. He was like a lamb dumb before his shearers, a lamb led to the slaughter. He chose to give his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He offered himself for the sins of the world. The lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world, he shed his precious blood. And when his blood hit that mercy seat, my God, when his blood hit that mercy seat, the veil was rent in two. And let me tell you something, that Shekinah glory that was concealed to that back room for only the high priest is now made available to you and to me. And every time we walk through the door of this church, we feel the presence of the Lord because of his mercy and because of his grace. Thank God for not giving us what we deserve. Thank God for not giving us his wrath that we deserve. But his wrath was transformed into mercy because he's the lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. That veil was rent in two. That veil that concealed the glory of God to that back room, it was rent in two. And now let me tell you something. You don't need to go sit down with some man in a booth and confess your sins to him. You have a high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he can forgive you today of anything you've ever done in your life. You have a high priest, and his name is Jesus today. Come on, the Holy Ghost is for everybody, not just somebody, not just anybody. The Holy Ghost is for everybody today. You can be filled with the Spirit of God as sure as you're sitting in this room today, because he took his wrath and he transformed it into mercy, and he didn't give us what we deserve. He took the sins of all humanity and he suffered and died that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. And now we can walk into the house of God knowing that his blood is applied to our lives. Come on, his mercy will surely rain upon us because it sees the blood. It sees the blood today. The glory, the power of God and the mercy seat of God will meet us here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelations 21:3, John said, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Come on, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The tabernacle of God is with man." And John said, "He will dwell with them, and he shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And God will wipe away all their tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Just the glory of God." Hallelujah. Just the glory of God. Just the mercies of God. Come on, there'll be no more pain. The former things are going to be passed away. And behold, all things are made new. My God, where else can you go that His blood can wash away your sins and you can have a brand new start? Where else can you go? Let me tell you something, ain't no banker going to forgive you like that. Come on, ain't no doctor going to forgive you. I've met doctors. I've had doctors tell friends of mine, if you don't stop drinking that Mountain Dew, I ain't going to see you no more. Huh? Where else can you go that all of your sins can be washed away by His precious blood? Jesus is the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Church, stand with me today as the musicians come quickly. We're talking about the tabernacle plan. I know it's a little bit lengthy today, but it's important today that we understand the right approach to God. How we come to God matters. And the church needs to be told, you don't serve God half-heartedly. You don't come to God any old way you want to come to God. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about sinners to repentance. You come as you are. Don't misunderstand me today. The Lord welcomes people to come as they are. But from that place on, from the brazen altar, from the place of repentance, where we offer ourselves unto the Lord, from that place on, it matters how you approach God. You don't skip the steps. You don't do what you want. You do what God has laid out in the plan of salvation. The priest would finish behind the veil on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, when he was instructed to take off his priestly robe, his embroidered, heavy, decorated, ornated robe. And the Lord said, on that one day a year, you take off that decorated robe. You put on a plain, simple, white robe on the Day of Atonement. And when he would go through all of these steps and he'd make a sacrifice unto the Lord, he would sprinkle the blood. He'd go behind all of the furnishes. He'd go behind the second veil and he'd sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God would come down and hit the mercy seat, and the mercy of God would fill the house. The presence of Almighty God would fill in behind that second veil. And listen to me today, when the glory of God would come down and the sins of the people, they would be atoned for another year. But eventually he had to come out. And when he came out, the Bible teaches us that he was required to take off that simple white robe and put back on that priestly robe, that decorated, that ornate, embroidered robe. Once again, people would hear the sound of the bells and the pomegranates coming, and they would know that the man of God was coming. The bells began to jingle again. Those empty pomegranates began to bang against them again. Listen to me today. Jesus came to apply the blood just like the high priest did in the Old Testament tabernacle. Jesus came to wash away the sins of a world, not just a man, not just a nation, but the sins of a world. And whosoever will, let him come today. Whosoever will, let him come today. He said he went away to prepare a place for us, where he is, we may be also. Church, when he comes back from glory, he's not coming out humbly. He's not coming out quietly. He's not coming like he did the first time in a simple white robe riding upon a donkey. Let me tell you something, he's coming with all glory. He's coming with all power. And when he sets one land and one foot on land and one foot on sea, and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and he declares time to be no more, every knee's going to bow before him. Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. He's not coming humbly the next time. And we got to make sure that we got a right approach to God today. We got to make sure that we got a right approach to God today. You got to repent of your sins. Come on, you got to humble yourself before the Lord. You got to be baptized in His name for those sins to be washed away by His precious blood. You got to receive the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. Jesus is our high priest today. Jesus is the one that offered Himself for the sins of the world. His mercy, His power, His anointing is available to you today. Is available to you today. All you got to do is have the right approach to God. You can come in, you can go right through the tabernacle plan. You can repent, you can be baptized, you can receive the promises of God. You can learn to walk with God, and His blessings will open up to you. There's nobody under the sound of my voice today that can't receive what we're talking about today. We are, this New Testament church is a type and shadow of the Old Testament tabernacle. We cannot concentrate on our outward appearance. Listen, I don't want you to come in here looking all goofy. I want you to present yourself good unto the Lord. But let me tell you something, it ain't about outward adornments. It ain't about decorating yourself up. It's about the inward adornments of the heart. It's about being made right with God. It's about knowing if you were to fall over dead today, you would make heaven your home. And He would say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. It's about knowing that you're right with God today. Listen to me today. You are the tabernacle of God. His anointing is available to you today. There are some things that must happen in that tabernacle for you to arrive behind that veil and stand in the presence of the Lord. He is our high priest. He's coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle, one that has made itself ready. He's coming back for a people that's been faithful to Him, a people that has looked unto Him, a people that has kept the faith in Him, a people that has not denied His name. Listen to me today. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. Every time you come to the tabernacle and you stand before that mirrored brazen laver, the Lord wants to reveal yourself to you. He wants to show you anything that's off, anything that's wrong, anything that would keep you from making heaven your home. He wants you to continue to the next step. He wants you to eventually land in the Holy of Holies where His presence and His glory is touching you. Listen, church, if the righteous, the Bible says the righteous are scarcely going to make it. Where's the sinner and the ungodly going to appear?